Listening friend, welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's April 9th, 2012. And other than one announcement, because we barely got off the plane in our summary yesterday, Jason. So thanks for returning for this Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And thank you, God, that you're going to be on the Wednesday edition where I don't know what we'll talk about, whatever.
Probably Israel trip.
Probably some more Israel.
We couldn't even get off the plane.
Yeah, yesterday we barely got onto the plane. Yeah. A lot of discussion of the plane. We landed and then we ended up at Kersey for our first stop, which our Israeli guide, Eitan, said, I don't think he's ever remembered a group starting or launching their trip study right at Kersey. But we shared a little about that yesterday. But let me do one last plug for this. I don't know if it'll be my last plug, but it is getting close this Thursday. We're launching into our 12-week study. Basically, it'll be for the over the next 6 months. It'll be the second and fourth Thursdays. And some of you might say, 6 months? Oh, that sounds so daunting. It's really not. Come out this Thursday. You're going to see what great fellowship and teaching and fun and interesting things that you'll learn and be able to apply into your life. You're going to fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ as we hear the narrative as recorded by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the merged Gospels. We'll take it all together and study it. And I think in our hope and our desire is you're going to get so encouraged and blessed that you can't wait to return in 2 weeks. And so it'll be the second and fourth Thursdays. There's a $20 cost, and we're almost running out of books. So now would be a time to call so we know how many people will be in attendance. I think we have 110 or so books. And so if you want to be a part of the group that meets this Thursday at Judah Christian School, beginning at 6:30 to 8 p.m., call 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. There's still time to sign up, and we'd love to have you join us where we're going to walk and talk through the Gospels together. So that's this Thursday. All right, yesterday. Oh, do you have anything else to say about the Merge Gospel series?
No. Okay. Let's roll.
Okay. So yesterday, the reason we were recapping some of the Israel experience, because many of you had been praying for it, financially supported it, sent people on the trip. It was one of these unique trips we called our Serve and Learn, where our intention was to share the gospel and the love of Jesus in every occasion, wherever we were at, whether it was on a plane, whether it was waiting in line in a restaurant, whether it was on location at a site, or wherever we went, we basically had flyers that we could say, this is why we're here, this is what we're doing, and we just got to spread a lot of love. And yesterday we talked about the flight and then landing, staying in the Kibbutz Kanar. It was right on the Sea of Galilee. It was a wonderful kibbutz hotel, and a kibbutz is kind of like a commune. It's owned by membership, and yet nobody really owns the land. The Israeli government kind of owns that. Mm-hmm. I won't even get into that tangent because that would take a while, but it's communal living, and they all share in common. And so this hotel and the grounds and the campus were held by this kibbutz, and so we had wonderful accommodations, and then we launched into yesterday. Our very first stop was at Kersey, and God did some unique things there, and we received it and kind of got blessed because of it, and then headed towards Nazareth for our very first stop to work with Fadi and his group.
Yeah, that was a great time. First, we went to the Nazareth Baptist School. From there, we walked over to where Fadi have sat. Really a great, I think that was a really milestone for a lot of people, which found its way later on in the trip, almost the last day when we were on the southern steps in Jerusalem, that we were sharing, you know, how what God's done in our heart and through that. And a couple of folks shared, I think it was three or four different people, one in particular, but echoed by some others at different times, that the interaction with Fadi, and Fadi being an Arab, really changed their perspective on who Arabs are. Because I think that from our media and all the standpoint, what's given to us, we view Arabs a certain way. And we have this preconceived notion. And yet we got in the room with Fadi and watched his love for the kids, his love for Jesus, his love to make Jesus connections, Jesus-like connections for these kids and to bring them along and let them worship God. And it was so interesting to see Fadi leading the kids in worship and prayer and those things in Arabic. But I know that it really touched some people's hearts because they said, I always thought of Arabs like this, and Fadi has totally changed my perspective. He's made me see that it's not about Arab or Muslim or Jew or any of these things. It's about Jesus, and it's about, do these people love Jesus? And so it was really the time with Fadi, I think, really opened up people's hearts. I think people's hearts were already softened from our time at Kersey, but then through the work that God was doing with Fadi, I think that it really did a work on people's hearts. Once again, it's that old, I hear from missionaries all the time and people who go on mission trips where they say, I went over there to help these people and change their lives, and what really happened was I got changed.
Yeah, yeah. And thank you, God, for answered prayer, because my intention initially was to go there and really drop off a lot of these art supplies and school supplies for the children, because he oversees Child Evangelism Fellowship and right on the campus, and he also happens to live in the home where it also houses a couple of the floors for these children and for all the activities. Well, the intention was to drop off the supplies and maybe do some groundskeeping work or some landscaping or pick up trash or do something simple. And he said, oh, no, I was hoping you're going to put on a program for the children. I'm like, we weren't really prepared for that. And so then I'm like, okay, we need some ideas. The kids are all going to be here in about 20 minutes. Does anyone have some ideas? And so we got into different groups, like Kathleen Jennings or a few others said, well, we can do a art project.
Yeah.
And then Jeff Jensen said, well, I used to do something with puppets, like a puppet ministry. I said, oh, okay, you're the puppet guy. You're going to put on a little puppet show. And then I can't remember.
His last name was Jensen or Henson.
Yeah. And then somebody else says, I can't remember if this was Danny, but she says, well, why don't we make airplanes? Or maybe
paper airplanes.
Unless that was Stephen from Nebraska, another friend that we met on this trip. But anyways, so we got upstairs and we kind of broke ourselves into a couple different groups. And then Jeff launched into this, like, I think it was John 3:16 with a puppet. And then he had this, he was winging it. But, you know, we had this room full of children. And so he's up there with a puppet talking a little about our group and why we're there and God's love. And he's looking at the puppet and almost like, not quite being a ventriloquist, but it was classic. And the kids were loving it. And so thank you, God, he came up with that idea and it seemed to work well. Oh, and then Fadi had to translate into Arabic, because not all the children had a great handle on the English language. And so he was translating it. And so it was a lot of fun. And we were all just marveling at how God was using that. And then we went into the time of some of the children were drawing pictures of Jesus or Jesus's care. And then another group were building airplanes and being taught how to make airplanes. There were variations on the airplanes, which they were flying. You can imagine all the boys loved that, but the girls loved it too. And these airplanes, thank you, God, that nobody got their eyes poked out.
I'm telling you what, it was like crazy. Those planes were going everywhere. I had to put my hands up and try and guard myself.
I kept thinking, oh, Lord, please protect this group. All those airplanes in the air. The kids are throwing them hard and fast.
Oh, and man, they sure were.
No injuries. And then Kathleen's group, those that helped with all the art supplies, they got some string. I mean, we were ad-libbing. We were using some of the supplies we brought and the crayons and markers. And then we put it all on a big string and I tacked it up onto the wall. And the kids just loved it. We had a lot of fun interacting with them and then blessing them with all the gifts. And we gave out from Bev Lane, who I mentioned yesterday, she hand-sewed like over 200 different items. And so we left a number of items with some of these children, and they all got them like as a prize. And somebody gave me like 200 plus pens. So all the kids loved these pens. And so it was that was kind of like our first launching ministry work. And then we left from there.
And we went back to the hotel and just enjoyed. I think that night was just a nice, quiet night. It was the first night where we really got to enjoy dinner around the table together. I think that very first night off the flight into the hotel, everybody was pretty tired. Everybody was pretty overwhelmed. They were trying to figure out which way was up. But that second night was where I think people really got a chance to gel around the dinner table. And I have to tell you, on this trip and on the other trip that I went on too with you, that was always really a critical ministry time. I mean, deep, wonderful time shared around the dinner table, you know, always trying to gently encouraging folks to mix it up. You know, don't sit with the same people, sit with new people, get to know other folks. But, you know, you have this one great thing in common, Jesus. And then you have the Holy Spirit there who's leading and guiding conversation. So you can't help but not have God-honoring, fun, deep conversations. And I think on this trip in particular, one of the things Tasha said is she said it was like an endless amount of laughs.
Yeah. Well, and we gelled so quickly, and that experience at Kersey, I think, fostered that, the transparency, the opening up, the sharing at a deep level. And there was something unique about, I mean, all the groups have unique aspects, and you grow close, but this group being a smaller group, 20 of us, we instantly bonded and shared. And then because of the humanitarian mission project, when you're working side by side and helping others, there's something that just unites us. And it just seemed like this group, some of them had been veterans and been on past trips, but everyone, I think, from the get-go got along, and we started sharing and opening up and just got launched into, okay, Lord, what are you going to do through us on this trip?
Mm-hmm. So the next day, then Tuesday, we all jumped in the bus first thing in the morning. We headed up north into the Golan Heights, and it was really a beautiful day in terms of, it wasn't sunny, it was kind of overcast, but the Golan is so high up, 3,500 feet up, Mount Hermon about 9,000 feet up. The clouds were resting on the mountain, so it was a beautiful to see, and everything was so green. The Golan is so incredibly green. I remember Tasha just saying, wow. Wow, wow, because she thought, you know, again, I think we've used this term before, I trademarked it, Illinois. She's Illinois, so she's used to everything being flat, and then being there, and everything being so mountainous and so hilly, and you're up and you're down, and she loved it. And we went from there to through the Golan up near Syria, which was fascinating to go up there knowing what politically is happening in Syria, to be able to look across and know that there's so much unrest in that. But then thank you, God, for the UN peacekeepers who have that base in between Syria and Israel, who provide peace and care and comfort for both sides, to know that there's not going to be this sense of tension there, even though I think it's always kind of underlying.
And actually, we didn't know this till like the next day, but as we went far north up towards Dan and Caesarea Philippi, which is on the northern end of Israel, and you're literally looking over, and there's Syria, there's Lebanon, you know, 5-7 miles away. You're right in both those territories. But at some point that day, those UN peacekeepers got kidnapped.
Yeah.
And we didn't know that till we got back to the hotel. We weren't that close, but what is close? I mean, I think it was about 20 miles
away.
Yeah,
we were. I mean, really, really. I mean, you can look and you can see Syria right over there, right on the other side of that base, and to know that those peacekeepers were at that base. So it was interesting that that happened. We went to Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi seemed to have a great impact on people, that place where Jesus said to Peter, you know, who do you say that I am? You know, they were saying, well, maybe Elijah or John the Baptist or this. And Jesus just kind of, you know, that moment where you can just envision Jesus looking in Peter's eye and saying, I don't care what they say. Who do you say I am? And being able to see that great rock at Caesarea Philippi, and to know that maybe that was the rock where Jesus said, on this rock you're going to build the church, because this rock is monstrous.
It's like a mountain.
Yeah, and this rock kind of dominates the landscape, this one big boulder that was theirs forever. And then we went to Tel Dan, and Tel Dan is one of my favorite places to go. Just the archaeological evidence, the rich history that happened there from the city of Dan, one of the ancient cities where, you know, Dan is such a picture of our own human hearts, where God calls us to a place, but then we see somewhere else, and that place looks even better. And so we go, well, maybe that's a blessing. Maybe I'm supposed to go there. Maybe I'm supposed to be a part of that. And, you know, just because the grass is greener doesn't mean that's your grass. But that's what happened with the tribe of Dan. They were down more towards Tel Aviv. They sent out scouts. They found this area. And when you walk through Tel Dan, it's a nature preserve. There's little waterfalls, and the Jordan River's running out of there. It's green. It's lush. I mean, if you close your eyes, you hear the birds chirping. I mean, it just feels like an idyllic, perfect place to be. And so the tribe of Dan said, well, God must want us to go here. This is where our scouts wound up. Let's move there. Which then they were conquered and put under oppression many, many times. But they've uncovered full city walls, the gate into the city, the place where you would, the altar where you would make your sacrifice before you went into the city, the place where the elders would sit there. But more fascinating than that, as you come around the backside of Dan and you look to the east, northeastern kind of, and you see Mount Hermon, and Mount Hermon's where we know that Abraham made his covenant with God. Well, from Mount Hermon, you can actually kind of trace it down. There's a road or a path or a, you know, and it's ancient. The guy Eitan said, this is an ancient path. You can kind of trail it down, and you kind of almost kind of winds up right where you're at. And then you turn around, and there's where they uncovered the gate at Dan. So we know that most likely Abraham probably came down from Mount Hermon, came across, and went through this gate that they found. Even more fascinating than that is the gate is an arched gate. And this would predate the Roman arch, which we thought the Romans invented the arch by about 1,000 years. So the ancient Israelites were using arches far before Rome was, which means that the arch wasn't necessarily a Roman. Roman ingenuity didn't make the arch. So Dan, for me, is archaeologically a fascinating place. They've uncovered so many things. But then again, it's just an idyllic setting where you go. It's such a picture for me of the human heart. And that's what some people said to me.
And you like the gates of Dan. In fact, you've referenced that and even described it more intently when you talk about Ruth and Boaz and him going to the gate. And I know you really had one of your God moments at that gate, just to be on that cobblestone.
Well, they've uncovered the actual street. So, I mean, when you start pounding your feet against the ground, you're pounding your feet on the same place that thousands upon thousands of years ago people walked through as they went into the city of Dan in the north there. And we don't know who went into there. I mean, it was a myriad of people, but there's so much history there in those footsteps. So, yeah, I love Dan. And then from there we went down to the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah, but before that, the backside of that where Jeroboam led Israel astray, where he had the calves and the altars that led all of Israel astray. So many of you that read the Old Testament and you get to that point where there's Solomon and he has a son, Rehoboam, and then there's this general Jeroboam, and then there's this competition, and then the splitting of Israel, and Jeroboam, who goes north and takes the 10 tribes with him and leads Israel astray. So from that point on, you hear about all the bad kings of the north and how they were led astray because of Jeroboam. But we went to where he set up one of his two idols.
It's the actual temple area. They have made out a metal recreation of the altar, the outline of it, so that you can see where the altar would have been. But directly behind the altar, they've uncovered the original steps that went up to the platform where the two golden calves would have been on. Rehoboam saying, you don't have to go down to Jerusalem and worship. Don't make that long pilgrimage. It costs a lot of money. We're going to open up the golden calf worship here at Dan. You know, I mean, I could just see, you know, you don't have to travel all that way. We're going to open up our own franchise of worship right
here. And
didn't
some of his advisors or some say, hey, if they start going to Jerusalem, they're going to side with Rehoboam. We need to do this. I mean, it was like a strategy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He had a whole strategy behind it. So then from there, we traveled down to the Sea of Galilee, and we took a nice boat ride. And there's where we had a really amazing time. One of the highlights, I think, for a lot of people on the trip, because the guy who was leading the boat trip, he just wanted everybody to dance, have a good time. And I think from the minute we got on the boat to the time we got off, people were just dancing like crazy. And
he was like 70 or 80 years
old.
He
was the mayor of some town.
Yeah, real small town near Tiberias. I learned about it. They laughed. There was only, like they said, about 80 people there. But he was the mayor. But he was a total character. And a senior saint with a lot of energy. And he got everyone up and dancing. And I think he would handpick the women that he'd dance with. Yeah. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, and definitely. I mean, we learned something about Mark during that time that we didn't even know. I mean, we didn't know that Mark had these magic twinkle toes. I mean, he got up. The minute we unlocked his dancing heart, he went nuts. In fact,
jet lag.
No, in fact, our good friend Jeff Jensen from the trip helped to remember some of the places that we went. And he gave us a little itinerary. And it says here for the end of Tuesday, the Sea of Galilee dance party with Mark's Kids Club. And that came because when we got back to the thing, there was a great video that I shot of Mark dancing. And Mark was doing this kind of fishing stuff while he was dancing. Like he was doing dance moves, but he was casting a net. And he was doing dance moves, but he was reeling the fish in. And then I'm not sure what else you were doing, but in the midst of that, in the hotel room, we cut in the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse song. And so that became the talk of the whole trip, that it's Mark's hot dog moment. In fact, my daughter loves to watch the video, and she calls it Mark's hot dog video.
Yeah, I don't know what got into me. Well, what happened?
It was the Holy Spirit, definitely. Yeah, we didn't know you were that charismatic.
I was just following in David's footsteps, King David.
Wait, he danced before the ark, not before the box of goods you could buy, the placemats.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but that boat captain said, get over here, dance with me. And then I just kind of let loose, and I remembered the lawnmower move where you go down.
Yeah, that was it. You were doing the lawnmower thing.
I was doing
thing.
The lawnmower, but then I wanted to transition. Wait, I'm on a boat. So then I did the cast throwing and the fishing reel. And so I was creating a new dance for everyone. Well, I don't know.
Here's the thing I do want to say, because I want to help you out here, okay? You know, part of my job is care and concern, pastoral care.
Yes, yeah.
And multiple times whenever this comes up, and you guys just got to hear it, so now you have about, how many listeners do you have?
I don't know. I probably lost a few.
How many listeners do you have?
Many thousands.
Many thousands. So all thousands of you, you've now heard Mark say, I don't know what got into me. Well, I'll tell you what got into you. You were enjoying yourself. You were having a great time. I think it was a great moment where you said, you know what, I'm just going to, and you said this different point during the trip. You said to me, I just feel like God has spoken to me, and I've just let some things go here, and I'm just having a great time. I feel at peace. And I think that was one of those moments where I think that that boat captain, divinely placed there by God, because you've taken 26 trips. I don't think you've ever had a boat ride that was quite like that.
No.
But I think that God divinely put that boat captain there where everybody just got put at ease. Everybody was laughing. Another moment where God was like putting the glue on our edges and gluing us together and doing that. So I don't think, Mark, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think you have any reason to apologize for what happened on there, because it was, I thought it was fun. It was great. I mean, so many people have been
blessed.
Well,
I didn't know you were videoing it. And then when I saw it later on and then you were showing it to everyone, I was like, well, I guess I did.
Karen thanked me when I sent that to her that night.
Yeah. She could probably hold it over me, probably show it to the board.
Well, she told me, she said she's not going to mention anything about it to you till we talk about that raise that's coming.
Yeah, the appropriate moment. Yeah, it was great. I will say something, because I know we're running out of time here, but this is the only time this has happened where I returned after a trip. I mean, the very day I returned, the next morning, I felt like God was speaking to my heart and mind what the next trip would be. Usually it takes months of prayer or preparation or confirmation, or people start saying, when's your next trip? And I start saying, well, the trip I'm on is always my last trip till God endorses or confirms that there's going to be a future trip. I'm not going to do another one unless God's in it, because it's all really about Him and what He's going to want to accomplish. Well, the second day, basically, after I returned, in light of different things that I learned on this trip, He spoke to my heart, and I literally wrote down REST, all in caps, rest, and then the thought, be still and know that I am God. Because I already had entertained the idea of a trip in about a year. And I had some people already asking me about it, and the pastor from Chicago and so forth. But I already felt like God was giving me the theme for next year. It's going to be at the end of April, I think April 22nd. But the theme is going to be rest, be still and know that I am God. And it's going to be much different than some of the past trips where there's going to be a lot more downtime. There's going to be some half days. And I think God's going to give me this next year to really learn what it means to rest in Him. And then being sick, subsequent 3 weeks after returning, I was forced to rest in ways I had never done before in my whole life. And so I'm really kind of being attentive to what God wants to teach me in preparation for a trip next April. More to say about that certainly in the coming days. And we're already out of time, and we've only scratched the surface.
We're only on Tuesday.
So anyways, thanks for bearing with us, everyone. We're hoping that something that we're saying, regardless of whether you're able to ever go on a trip, will draw you closer to God, will let you know that He cares for you, He loves you, He wants to work in and through you. And so I pray that as maybe we recount some stories or talk about the location or the site or the biblical narrative, it'll be a blessing or an encouragement for you. That's what our prayer is. Yep. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.